You know what? In something like this, your mind tends to go to it a lot. And you have to learn to bring yourself out of that and focus on what you have to do.
What's unique with Pat, she looks at the future and saying, I don't want to sit still. I want to keep moving. I want to keep doing everything I can for others. It's not about Pat. It's about keeping herself healthy for other people, for service. It really is. My name is Alice Cottle, and I work with the diabetes program here at Kentucky River District Health Department.
And my name is Pat Hayes, and I live about 5 miles up the road at a little road called Possum Trot. Possum Trot, Kentucky. It's actually Leburn, Kentucky, but I live at Possum Trot. Well, I'm by myself, and with rain that hard, I couldn't go to sleep, so I had not went to sleep. Mm-hmm. And some family members called to check on me and had talked to me on the phone, and then we lost service. And of course, I couldn't reach anybody at that point. So I stayed up. The water was so loud because I live up on the mountain just a little bit. But the water that came off each side of the mountain on my property was so loud. I went out with a flashlight about 2:30. I just wanted to see why it was so loud. And I mean, water was coming right through my yard. It was just like, I mean, I videoed it. It was just unreal. But of course, I couldn't go back to sleep then for sure because I couldn't get up with anybody, and I wasn't going to sleep knowing it was that bad.
Pat went through a lot of stress during the flood. Her brother, actually, his home was washed away the night of the flood, and she can tell this better than me, but the night of the flood, they woke up and realized the water was getting really high in their home. He and his son ran out and got the cars, moved them to higher ground. By the time he got back to his family, he couldn't get back in the house anymore. So all his family had to go actually to the rafters. I'll let you take up on it there, how hard that was for him to sit there and watch them through the night.
Yeah, they went up in the attic, and the attic is not floored. So it was the wood and the insulation's all it was. And he and his son came back down and couldn't get to the house. And the wife and the grandchildren and great-grandchild couldn't get out. So they went up, and he and the son stood across the road, not knowing what had happened to them. The granddaughter was trying to yell out the back window, the attic window, and let them know they were okay, but you couldn't hear because of the roar of the water. Nobody could hear until 9:30 the next morning, so nobody knew what happened to anybody until the next morning. My son-in-law, it was a mile down the road, came up the next morning to check on me. He was in like a side-by-side. And he, you know, checked on me, but I still couldn't get up with my brother and them. And we couldn't get down there because the water was up too high. And the evening, the water went down enough that he could get down there in a truck. And he come back and told me that they had lost everything. And he told me about them being in the attic, my sister-in-law and her, you know, grandchildren and great-grandchild. And of course, that really upset me. So probably a couple hours later, I just wanted to go down and see. I had to go see that they were okay for myself. So we went down and checked, and my grandson and the daughter and the son-in-law went in the house and got out medicine for them. Mud was so slick you couldn't hardly stand up. It was terrible. But they went in the house and found their medications for them. And my sister-in-law knew that they had clothes in the top shelf of the closet that would be good. So they got those clothes and brought them out for them. And of course, that's when we decided they would come to my house and stay. So we went on back to my house that evening. But I mean, it was just so stressful. I mean, that was one day I didn't think about what I ate or what it was. I was just getting through the day. It was just unreal.
Jack does have type 2 diabetes, and she has participated in our trainings. They're called Diabetes Self-Management Education. And the program that we use here at our health department is called Healthy Living with Diabetes. And it is an 8-hour class that someone with type 1 or type 2 would take. The first time Pat ever took the class, it was probably back in 2015 or 16. She'd been diagnosed with diabetes for a couple of years. She took the class. It was a 4 hours for 2 days. We had lunch together, so she learned to count her carbohydrates and all that kind of stuff.
Actually, I was pre-diabetic for about 10 or 11 years, and I controlled that by walking and diet. But then I have a history of diabetes in my family, both sides of my family, mother and father. So it finally caught up with me. And that's probably been, I'm going to guess, 12 years ago, something like that. And I really didn't know I knew Alice already, and she kind of told me some stuff, and then we got started with some diabetes classes, which helped. But even after taking one, class, there's still so much you don't really get that I've actually done probably 3, just because every time you take it, you pick up on something else that you can learn more about. So, yeah, it has definitely helped a lot. In fact, when I first started, I'm not going to say what I weighed, but I probably weigh 30 pounds less now than I did a couple of years ago because I started eating different. I eat fried potatoes and cornbread and the things that you don't eat much of when you're diabetic. So I had to change a lot of that. Instead of frying pork chops, I went to baking pork chops. And my breakfast was a big change. Before, my breakfast could have been, it might have been a little Debbie cake and some milk. It really might have been, because...
Well, something you told me at the time, and you've said it before, mm-hmm. is that she knew she wasn't supposed to eat sugar, but she, at the time, didn't realize what carbohydrates really were.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just sugar, it was flour, and it was potatoes.
It was like toast,
And there was carbohydrate in milk, There's as much carbohydrate in a cup of milk, almost, as a piece of bread. A lot of people don't even... That never enters their mind that there's natural sugar in milk. So stuff like that, because the mm-hmm. first time that you took the class, you got the book and started mm-hmm. learning about carb counting.
Things you don't think about, like she said, like the milk and stuff like that. You don't think about those things.
And one of the things that Pat learned well is like in goal setting, you have to be real specific. And you're going to do that every day, and you're going to write it down. And you're going to ask yourself regularly, am I doing that? You have to talk about it. Because Pat made the decision to change, she did want to eat healthier, but she made those specific goals that she wasn't going to eat fried foods anymore. And she talked about it. And she would ask for recipes. And mm-hmm. also, at that time, we had a support group here in Knott County. We did some recipes. She always made sure that even though she was fixing something else for the family, she was following true to her lower fat cooking methods for herself.
Is there any advice that you would give to folks who are trying to get blood sugar under control, whether they have type 2 already, whether they're in prediabetes or just have family history? Is there any advice that you would give to folks?
Exercise regularly, drinking water, like baking or broiling instead of frying, a lot of foods, more vegetables and fruits. Watch your vegetables and fruits rather than going for potatoes. You can have a salad instead, or a green beans instead of a potato, something that's healthier.
And you're the queen of portion control.
Well, I do
try. She is.
I do try. Well, you have to know how much you're going to eat of something. If you're supposed to have, a normal portion of meat, it's like the palm of your hand, like this is a normal portion of meat. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought it would have been a piece of chicken the size of my whole hand.
Like about 5 or 6 ounces when it's really 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just don't think about those things. from the time I was diagnosed until I got it under control, yeah, I did. I did start feeling different. I felt sluggish. I felt, just didn't feel real good. Not a lot of energy. But then when I started getting under control and it was staying down more, I realized I was feeling better and I had more energy. And yeah, it made a difference. Like in the beginning, you know, I was pre-diabetic for the 10 or 11 years. And I knew that I had family history of it. But I did keep it under control that long before it actually caught up with me. But I still knew that if I was careful, I wouldn't have to be like other members of my family that I have seen in years past who did not take care of it. They just really didn't try. Bad eyesight, being overweight, not trying to do any better. We'd go visit somebody in the hospital and here's relatives coming in with cheeseburgers and french fries and I know they're diabetic and I'm thinking, and milkshakes, and I'm thinking, I can't believe you're eating that. And I might have made a comment about, I didn't realize that, you know, you could eat french fries or something. Well, I take my shot. Well, that's not the solution. You don't eat what you want and take your shot of insulin. That's just not the way you control it. You just have to realize I'm not going to let this control me. I'm going to get a hold of it and do what I can with it. Because if you don't, it will control you. So yeah, you can. You can manage it.
Have you always been exercising, or did you start doing that after?
I've always been an exerciser, yeah. Yeah, that's something I've always done. But I was more conscious of doing it like every day, and there was more of a purpose to it than just doing it because I enjoyed doing it.
What's sort of your routine of managing diabetes normally in terms of exercise? Like, what's sort of your standard program? Did the flood kind of affect that at all?
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. Because I go to Silver Sneakers, which is an exercise program here for seniors. I go to that usually Mondays and Thursdays. And then I try to walk the other days. I try to walk at least a half hour a day.
But that was at the Sportsplex.
Yeah, that was at the Sportsplex.
So that was called off because it was being used for the disaster relief
supplies. So
changed
everything.
And FEMA went in, so you could no longer get in there to do her regular exercise. And, you know, and normally you would come to the church, and a lot of people walk in home, and because we can walk over at the settlement school, and it's a real nice, there's a little bridge, you can go all the way down to the library and different things down through there. Of course, all of that was flooded, so there wasn't walking there for a lot of people that use that.
Mm-hmm. Now, rather than go to the Sportsplex for the classes, my walking is, I live up on a hill, so I walk down my driveway, up the highway, down the neighbor's driveway, back up, which is harder. It's probably better for me. It's harder on my knees.
But it's not a real safe area for you to cross the road there.
It's not safe. It's on a mountain, so it's not safe.
Did you notice any kind of changes in your blood sugar kind of following the flood?
It happened on Wednesday night, didn't it? Mm-hmm. So on that Thursday, it was up, I think just because I was so stressed out over everything that was going on that day. The days after that, it wasn't so bad because I was moving around more and I was just more conscious and was able to, you know, find more things to eat and whatever, so.
We've talked about just the stress level of even if it wasn't your home, but still how you're affected. Our literature says that there's probably 400 or more things that you deal with every day because you have diabetes. You're checking your blood sugar. You're monitoring it. And if it's high this morning, you take a fasting and it's high. Well, why is it high? What did I eat last night? You're, you know, totally dealing with issues every day that are stressful. But also, on top of caring for yourself and your health with diabetes, then as soon as you start adding things like, you know, what she's been through.
I know you mentioned that your blood sugar got affected in the day after. Mm-hmm. What's it been like since?
some days are not as good as others, but it's been okay.
Has just the stress and the situation of everything been part of the some days?
That's part of it being up, yeah. You know, in something like this, your mind tends to go to it a lot. And like with my brother's situation, my mind tends to go to them, their situation, a lot. And you have to learn to bring yourself out of that and focus on what you have to do. That has been a chore. It's been a challenge.
Well, and also something that Pat did through all of this, the group that stayed at our church, we provided meals for them, breakfast and supper. And so you had to be there at 5:30 to get their breakfast. And she was there sometimes that early, and she would come and help do supper.
But if I did a lot of walking and move around like that, then I didn't worry about walking at home because I'd gotten enough exercise just during the day. And when you're helping with the meals and stuff, you get a lot of exercise.
But she's kept herself physically fit enough so that she could do that. What's unique with Pat, she looks at the future and saying, I don't want to sit still. I want to keep moving. I want to keep doing everything I can for others. It's not about Pat. It's about keeping herself healthy for other people, for service. It really is.